Which Pesachei Shuvah?
Tet was
about the, was the machlokas the Yehuda on the Gadol Echad about how you count first the Saflagos. Yud was just a recitation of the fact that there, the Shach says that the Ona Beinonis is the best Sachodesh. But for those who disagree, whether the Ona Vesachodesh is the Ona Beinonis, who say the Ona Beinonis is not the Vesachodesh, so then there's a machlokas whether the Vesachodesh is every, what we would call every 29th day or every 30th day. Okay. So there are those who are, as some of you showed me, that this quote in Rabbi Salasky's book, there are those who are machmir every month for both the 29th and 30th days. Because, number one, like the Taz, that they're two separate things. And number two, maybe it's the 29th, maybe it's the 30th. I think that's being mafra's alamida a bit. But anyway. All right, Sif Yudalit, who's reading? Kazdan, read Sif Yudalit, please.
I defer till later this week.
What?
I defer till later in the week.
Alex, please read.
וריאת שלושים, אסורה, משום בעשר ראשון. ואיבות רבו, חוששת ליום שלושים, שינתה פעמיים ליום שלושים, זה וזה אסורים. שינתה גימל פעמים ליום שלושים, נותר יום עשרים, ונעשר יום שלושים. ואם לאחר ששינתה פעם או פעמיים ליום שלושים, ועתה לסוף שלושים, לא לסוף עשרים, חזר בעשר של עשרים, במקומו ואותר שלושים.
Okay, so this is very basic, but pretty straightforward. I don't know how many of you looked at the Shach. Did I give you any?
No.
Mem. I left it as optional. It's rather difficult following what's going on here. But there is a machlokas. There is a machlokas between the Shach and the Madane Melech. Whether or not this din only applies when you had a Vesis Kavua, which is the case that's being spoken about. The Mechaber says Regila, and the Rambam makes it explicit, but that's very clear. Or the din here would apply even when she didn't have a Vesis Kavua. So what's going on here? So if you take a look, I'm going to read quickly. Ash afal pisha shalosh pa'amim, lo rasa bi yom esrim, lo neka yom esrim, kevan shalo rasa yom shloshim. Shem ishim edalegas vesis achas pamayim v'shalosh pamim v'hein aro bein tayim l'zman acher v'chozeres liris l'zman avesis lo nekar avesis. That's what the Rosh says. Fine. V'chei mashma m'shas, and Rashi says it pretty clearly also on the top of Samach Dalman Beis. V'chein pirshu adrisha v'abach v'kutras achin v'etur. V'madami melech kosav t'atur sorva d'lab d'alka b'sholo rosa b'shloshim ha-shlishi ela shadayin lohigia afilu hochi kol shechazra v'rosa l'esrim chaza l'kviyus harishon. Anyone know what the Madane Melech is saying? Judah?
The 30th doesn't, like, once you go back to seeing on the 20th, once you go back, she goes back to seeing on the 20th, the 30th doesn't have to pass by, meaning, like, you don't get, she no longer has to be closer to a 30th, even though it hasn't passed by yet.
Okay, so even though you haven't missed the 30, once the Vesis comes back, it's okay the 30 that was on its way. Now, what type of a Vesis is being spoken about here?
A father,
right? Well, the question is, will that work or not? In other words, how do you have a case where you miss the 20th again? It sounds like it has to be a case that she saw the 20, she saw normally every 20 days. Then she sees day 30, day 30, and each time she skips. And then what? She sees day 20? So it's a funny formula. I think that's what it means. But it's funny when it says, Dafka b'shelo rasa b'shloshem hashlishi, ela sha'dayin lo higia. Well, by definition, of course, if she's going to be roa b'esrim, it's going to be a dayin lo higia. Okay. And what is the, but the Madanai Melech assumes...
Isn't that the Kiddush?
What's that?
That's the Kiddush. You might have thought you have to wait until 30th because you never gave a chance to appear
yet. Right. And nevertheless, it's
okay. Except, again, if you... That would be, you want to say, that may be the Chiddush, but even though she had no Veses, even though she has a Veses Kavua now, so normally we don't care about the Veses Shena Kavua.
Right, but maybe intuitively, I don't know what the numbers would be, but intuitively I would think, okay, it's been 2 months now since she's had her normal Veses. Very nice that the 20th came, but we also are two-thirds of the way to a new Veses, and we've never... conclusively proven that Veses is gone.
Okay, except that we normally wouldn't care about it unless it's Koveya itself. But in other words, you're only Hoshesh for the Veses Eina Kavua when you have departed from the Kavua. But once you see on the Esrim, the Kavua has come back. Now, the assumption, though, the Madani Melech, by the way, well, there is an assumption built in here, which is that if, in fact, she didn't have a Veses Kavua previously of 20 days, and this is what the Shach takes issue with, then what would the din be? Let's say she's had a skipping around, and now she gets 30 and 30, and now she sees 20. The Madanei Melech assumes what? I don't know when he's counting that flaga from, but the 30 is still Bumkoma. Because
that's what necessitates him to speak out here. Only if you have that assumption.
Only if you have a Veses Kavua do you assume that the seeing of 20 again, because Yossi, you're asking why? Because you haven't had a 30 days pass yet. And skip.
What's the case that we just said that skips into 20?
If she didn't have a Veses Kavua of 20 days previously.
Okay.
She saw, whatever her Veses, whatever she was skipping around, maybe she didn't have a Veses Kavua. She saw the 30th, now she sees the 20th. So the Madanei Melech sounds like, because, in other words, Zeh Shirasa Be'esrim Shu Yom Kviyusa HaRishon Mechashiv Lo Lakira Shashtariyos Deshloshim. It's because it was Yom Kviyusa HaRishon. And that runs against the point that the Beis Yosef made. Right, in other words, it might. The Shach will go even further. Now, what would it then be if she didn't have a kviyas on Yom 20? She had random rios. Then she sees shloshim, and then esrim. So the Shach writes in the end, if you look at the end, Alma that hash imkein the last line. Afilu lechazur lekvus harishon rak sheshin sahaf alglas hashum in lachash laflagas shloshim nirali. Yehuda.
So, what would happen according to at least the Madanei Melech if she did see on the 30th? Well, let's not take 30. Let's say 50. Let's say she had a flag of 20 and it has 20, 20, 20, 20. Then 50, then 20. And then, let's say, 30 days later, after the 20, you see.
Well, I'm going to assume for the moment that it's 30 days later is meaningless. It's a totally different Vesas.
Okay.
Because I know that the Mechaber adopts one position, But I think that most of, we pointed out last week, the Mechaber does this in a couple of places, where he is willing, under certain circumstances, to envision that you can count the haflaga not to the immediately preceding re'iyah, but to either, in other words, you can either count it to a earlier re'iyah, not the most recent one, or to a hypothetical one, if there was no intervening re'iyah. We haven't gotten to that. That, I think, is in Siftezov.
So in this case, it would be an earlier re'iyah, counting the haflaga.
Correct.
30 days later, would be 50.
Correct, but I don't think that the Madane Melech Shach are working with that.
Okay.
And now, there's a question, what would happen the next time? There's a very simple case. The next time, the Madane Melech would say that if she didn't have a Vesas Kavua, and then she saw twice on the 30th, then she saw on the 20th, then she saw on the 30th, I would say from the 20th, he might say that that's Koveya Vesas. Because three Haflagos of 30, and it was never Nekar. Alex?
For the Madane Melech, if she has random, then she has, what was the case? 30, 30, 30, then 20, then that doesn't uproot the 30.
Correct.
But why should that be so surprising? Because in the absence of
the
Vesas Kavua, isn't the 30th for
Vesas Kavua? Okay, so let's ignore the Ona Banus. Change the number slightly if you want. They're just picking a round number. Let's say that he thinks the Ona Banus. Let's say he thinks the Ona Banus is 29. Okay.
So it's not Dafka.
Yeah, it's not Dafka. It's not, you know, it's a bad. By the way, I would just observe. I mean, if I want it, well, I'm not sure what to do with this. Could you bring this as a raya that he's thinking that the lamed is not the ona benenis, that chavtes is the ona benenis? Because otherwise you wouldn't think it's lamed. It's hard to know. It's a round number, so. Okay.
Also, he's just using the numbers of the Shulchan Aruch.
Correct. Okay, but the question is, does it say, what does it say for the Shulchan Aruch? Fine. Okay. That took me a while to sort of plow my way through that shach to figure out exactly what they were arguing about. Sif Tesvav. Here's where it gets interesting. Before we read Sif Tesvav, Yossi?
I was just
going to
ask, the machlokes is that according to the Madan Melech, that you are, you kind of, you kill a Vesas Haflaga, even if that meeting is not the return of a previous Vesas Kavua?
Well, yes, correct. Now, before we read the Mechaber here, it's worth rereading the Tur. Because otherwise it's hard to understand the discussion that takes place around this. The Tur says in Os Tesvav, Shinsa Rioseha Velo Hishva Osan, Kigon Shinsa Pama Hasneum Shoshim, Vashenis Lashloshim Mishnaim, Vashlishis Lashloshim Erba, Neker Vesis Harishom Ein Lavesis Klal. Okay, let's put aside, let's assume it's not a dilug of any kind. I don't want to get into that. The im hifsika v'lo ra'asa misha'avar alea yom esrim ubadka v'lo ra'asa shuvin l'choshesh le'olam. She had a vesis kavua of 20. Okay, and then yom esrim passed and she did not see. And he says, im hifsika v'lo ra'asa misha'avar alea yom esrim. What does hifsika v'lo ra'asa mean? And the din is yinacho sheshes leolam. Then, watch for 1 second. Chasra liros, chosheshes leom esrim meri'iyazo, shadayin lo nekar vesas harishem umkomo. Beinim koskamin liros, osheshen sebe'iyo, she'enam shavos. So what does it mean when he says, beinim koskamin liros, and when he said earlier, v'misika v'lo ra'asa? What does that mean? What? During what period of time? How long? So the Beis Yosef understood that hifsika v'lo ra'asa means if she skipped three onos. And he wonders why the Torah paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, because l'chatchila we don't paskin like him. Kedai Rabbi Eliezer l'smoch ala b'shas adchak. That's, now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, let's read now the Shulchan Aruch. Judah, were you reading? Oh, I'm sorry, who was reading? My Alex, sir. Shinsa. That's very straightforward. Now he gives in the second part. Who adin? All right, how long is Shalosh Onos here?
90 days.
Not clear that it's 90 days. It may be 60 days. Certainly the Taz understands that way. I don't think that Beis Yosef says... Yeah, he does. He does say Beferish.
If you're quoting the first one, when you say three Onos, you're including the first one, and then a month later the second one, then...
No, we're talking about Haflagos now. She used to see every 20 days. So 60 days have passed. So that's how Beis Yosef understood the Torah, and that's the way, that's what he paskins. Now, the Taz sort of has whatever issues, but he quotes the Yam Shel Shlomo, and I wanted to read that portion. The Marshal, it's actually not in the Yam Shel Shlomo, I apologize for that. And he says the following. If you look in Sifkat Dan Lamed Aleph, I apologize also, although I hope you would figure it out, it's not in Sifkat Dan Lamed, which is two lines. He says, Avam Roshal Perush Divrei HaTorkan, Nizel Lashono, Ma Shekosav Im Hifsika, Ani Omer, De'ein Atam Kan Mishum Di Mesul Lekes Damim. It's not that she's Mesul Lekes Damim. Velo Ayri Hocha Divsika Shalosh Onos Davka, El Afilu Kishifsika Pamachas Lagamri, Velo Shin Sariya Serklau, Shuv Eina Choshesh Oso Yom La'olam. Kidemashma Lashon Lahedja. Why? In other words, it means once day she skipped the 20th day, she's never Choshesh for that. Vatam, De Eina Choshesh Leom Esrim Abba, Mishum De Ein Kan Haflaga Shal Esrim. Kevan Shefliga Vela Rasa. In other words, 20 can only be counted from the day she saw. If you count 20 more days, that's 40 days from the last time she bled. Right? In other words, you can't say, oh, well, she should have bled the 20th, so we'll imagine that she did bleed the 20th. But why? Because she didn't bleed the 20th. It's not like after she skipped the 20th day, when she bleeds on the 30th day, that she now counts 20 from day 30. Haflaga cannot happen unless it's to a real ri'ya. We don't say that. Whose shita was that, by the way? Who says that you would be choshesh for 10 days after 30 because it's 20 days after when the vesa should have come on day 20? Rapapa. For Haflagos, it's better to count to a Re'ia than a day that you should have had a Re'ia. Right? In other words, if when you had a Re'ia, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a perfect Kal V'chomer, you don't count to an imaginary Re'ia. When you have no Re'ios, so what are you going to count to? The Marshal says that once, if she had a Veses Kavua for 20 days, and she skips day 20, she's not Choshesh at all going forward until she bleeds again. In which case she could count 20 from that day, she's not even choshesh for the own abandonment. The own abandonment is only for a woman who doesn't have vestas kavua. Umasha chazra tur chazra liros choshesh, mayri afilu hafsika miliros b'shalosh onos. It doesn't matter if she stopped more than 90 days. It doesn't matter. Choshesh liomesrim, meaning she has to bleed twice. She bleeds once after the 90 days, then you choshesh liomesrim. Now, In other words, what's the difference between, if at the end of the day, once she skips day 20, she's not chosheshes at all until she sees again, what's the difference between whether or not she goes shalosh onos without seeing, or she only goes 60 days without seeing? The Nafgamini says is whether you be chosheshes to haflaga. If she went for the last haflaga, meaning if she goes only 60 days, then, so let's say there went 60 days between meals, she'll be chosheshes for day 20, and if she doesn't bleed day 20, she'll be chosheshes for day 60. Whereas had she gone 90 days or more without bleeding, then when she bleeds again, she's just chosheshes for day 20. And if she doesn't bleed then, she's not chosheshes for day 90. In other words, you're not chosheshes ordinarily, until you're koveh, I believe, you're not chosheshes for haflaga more than 90 days. That's called being mesulak estamin. So that's what he says. Again, Abel, but the law of Sikha Shaloshon Sarasa Khoshesh Aslam in the Shira Flaga Mira Khan Ad Miyazo Shirasa Akshab Kamashakasva Twil El, the Zev is Asurma, Khoshesh Liomesum Ushloshim. Wadin Laba Mechamishim, the Ilu Avur Shalosh Onos, Eina Khoshesh Aslaflaga, so came in the Mesulak Estamin, Velo Dami Levesas Achodesh, Tim Avra Lavash Khodesh Velo Rasa, Khoshesh Lavash Khodesh Aba Achra, Achiavra Lash Losh Rashi Khadashim, Velo Tire, the Tsarach Akro Shalosh Pa'amim. Vesas Haflagos, if she misses her Haflaga, Kavua, you're not choshesh at all. That's unlike Rosh Chodesh, right? If a woman advesses Kabul Rosh Chodesh, and one Rosh Chodesh passes, what's the din, without seeing, what's the din on the next Rosh Chodesh? She's still choshesh. Why? The tzarech l'akro gimel plamim, the lo talina, and the ivlav, talina, and the mikra ha'yid, the larasa b'Rosh Chodesh avar, the choshesh l'Rosh Chodesh abba. Why? He doesn't spell it as much as you would like. It's because advesses achodesh isn't taloi upon a previous re'iyah. But a haflaga, by definition, is dependent on a previous re'iyah. Avo vesas haflaga miyad kushigeh yom esrim efsika v'alarasa ein kam vesas lo sayom daflaga tliya b're'iyah sh'achareha re'iyah zo. V'yemi adas le'ezeh yom mafleges v'lo kebesh yosef ad kan l'shona. The shach, the taz is going to ask, goes on to ask a whole bunch, a long taz. I'd be impressed if you read through the whole thing. I got through most of it. I understood almost all of it. You take a look at the Nekudas HaKesef. You see how long it is? Mm-hmm. One by one, he attacks the Taz's Raya's. I think the Marshal was correct. That's what the. I mean, it's not that the Shach needs me to say it, but it's very mistaber. He also provides sort of a consistent template for Vesas Haflagos. This idea of having a Haflaga to an earlier Re'iyah or to an imaginary Re'iyah is something that's very difficult to swallow. And the Shach and the Amshal and the Marshal categorically reject it. We saw the Shach, remember, and I said this last week, is consistent in rejecting this possibility. Remember how he rejected the Beis Yosef in the Darkei Moshe's reading of the Ramban? Because why is it according to the Ramban that if she bleeds on Rosh Chodesh, Yunach Choshesh Leyud Iyar? The answer is because the Haflaga is no longer 20 days. And even if you wanted to be Choshesh for a Haflaga of 20 days, you're not going to be count the 20 days from the 20th of Nisan, you're going to count it from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So the Shach, and the Shach that we read before, the Machlokas of the Madanei Melech, the Shach even believes that a Vesas Haflaga is destroyed, that's Eina Kavua, is destroyed even by a shorter Haflaga. Even by a shorter Haflaga. Why? Because Haflagos are all equal, whether they're long or they're short, or they're short or they're long, and Haflagos are only counted to the last Re'iyah. Not to an earlier Re'iyah, not to an imaginary Re'iyah. The Shach is really Ola B'kana Echa. He's consistent throughout. It's very mistaber. Very mistaber. Anyway, are there any questions about the Yom Shel Shlomo or the Beis Yosef? I should say the Marshal. You know, by the way, the Marshal was not a big fan of the Shulchan Aruch project. Very, very not big fan. I'm not even sure what he felt about the Beis Yosef, but he was very much not a fan. He did not like codification. From what I understand, I've read it, but it's a long time since I read his critique. So I think that he didn't like, number one, the idea that what you're supposed to pass is you're supposed to go back to the Gemaras and do the Sugyas. That was one objection. In other words, that's the way Pesach Halach is supposed to be done. And two, which may be linked
nobody
to it.
Nobody really disagrees with that, though, except for the Erzkov generation, right?
No, I think that in Ashkenaz, the tradition very much was these codes, it's hard to say whether or not. In other words, I think the Marshal was in the minority, ultimately, because there were so many attempts at codification.
Maybe not the high argument. And the other, like that wasn't like, you know, he did it the way he did it, but he wasn't the ideal way was to go through Gemara's and.
Was that the codes like the Germanic Valiatosos?
What's that?
Was that like the Orzeru and things like that, or?
And later too, you know, works like the Shari Dura in particular, and. The other concern I think that he expressed was a very serious concern is that people would read the Shulchan Aruch and this is the inverse side, not know what the Makoros were and misread the Shulchan Aruch, which happens frequently. So anyway, but in this case it seems to me that the Yamshul Shlomo's argument is a very strong argument. Again, the Beis Yosef, it's not surprising that the Beis Yosef is willing to read the way he does because we know his position on his reading of the Ramban. It's not a shock that he has a slightly different conception of the Aflagos. But even the language of the Torah, it seems to make a lot more, the Yamshul Shlomo's reading seems to be a lot better. But okay, fine. Any questions about that? Mati? It's worth going back. I hope I have the chance to go back and read the Yamshul Shlomo's introduction. It's also, I believe, the same introduction in which he has one of the greatest lines ever. It's an insult. I will not say now about which paper she said it about. There's a commentary in the Rambam. He only says one of the two, but we say, it's often quoted as that he said that the person violated Baal Tashchis on the ink and the paper. Mistaber, in those days, he violated Baal Tashchis on the paper because paper was really expensive. That was the big cost in print. In those days, that was the big cost in printing. It's not true anymore. So today, lots of people kill trees for no reason, unfortunately. But anyway, that's the great line. You want to insult somebody, you tell them, you know, when they wrote that sefer, they violated Baal Tashchis on the ink and the paper. So he says one of them. It's, anyway. Okay. Matt? Because that's the notion of being Mesulak Esdamim. Again, I think that if she bleeds every 90 days, in the Gemara on Daf Yud, which is one of the hardest Gemaras, I think, in the Masechta, about the Ketana Shel Hagiyas Zman HaLiros and Verasa, and that in that Sugya, so it seems that if she consistently sees, once she establishes a pattern to see every 90 days three times, that becomes her veses. But short of that, we just assume each time it's siluk damim. At least according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Where the chachamim exactly hold is a separate question. So the assumption is that I assume that the svara behind it is that a hafluga that long is just not a hafluga until we see it's a pattern. In other words, typically one might get her period every 25 days, every 35 days. Maybe she goes a little longer. To go every 90 days, you know, 90 days seems to be not a hafluga, but it seems to be a change. Even, you know, it seems to be siluk, what they call siluk dam.
Even if you have, if you see every, like clockwork every 95
no,
days.
No, so I'm saying once that happens, I think, once you've established it three times, it sounds from the Gemara, they talk about 90, but as you go beyond it.
It wouldn't be chosheish after the first half.
Correct. That's all what the Yamshul Shlomo said, is that when she missed 90 days, the next time she bleeds, she's chosheish for the 20th day from that day, but let's say it was 95 days between her eos. So when she bled day 95, she's now chosheish for day 115. She's not chosheish for day 190. If she misses day, you know, 115. Kale.
What if she sees 90, then 95, then 100, let's say? Or then, sorry, 90, yeah. 100, then 95.
So I think, you look at that Gemara, I think that they say, again, at least by the Ketana Shel Hagiyas Zman HaLiros, is that she's Mesulak Esdamim. It has to be Kavu, I believe. But the question will be, what about a regular woman? It's a different story. Because the Chachamim say that even Kosher Avala Shoshonus is not Mesulak Esdamim. So it may be totally irrelevant for the Chachamim for a regular woman. Okay. Sifte Zayin. We didn't read this. We read this up. That's okay. Go ahead. This is snapback. Just by a Vesas Achodesh. Fine. So look in the shachs of Katan Mem, hey? You can read this one. Stop. Whose position is that? No. The Marshal. I mean, it says in the next line. That is the Marshal. Because the Shach, remember, the Shach doesn't make a big fuss here because he's quoted because he thought it was obvious. Because he hadn't seen the Taz yet. And then after they were published, he then, you know, wrote 12 times as much in the Kusakest to respond to all the Taz's writers, right? But here he just writes the Devar Pashut.
But that is based on Rav Huna, right?
It all starts with Rav Huna. Rav Huna Breid Yeshua, correct. Correct. But everybody has to pass like Rav Huna Breid Yeshua. About that, less man de Pauling. The question is, how far do you take that? Rav Huna Breid Yeshua said, the Pashtus, even that the Beis Yosef disputes earlier in Yud Gimel, he just said that you can't have an intervening, and as if you had an intervening Re'iyah, it restarts the Aflaga clock. But the Beis Yosef himself limits the application. But here, it's not that you had a Re'iyah in between. It's that you didn't have a Re'iyah. So the Shach says, like the Marshal, there's no such thing. Right? Now, he doesn't acknowledge it, but it is the Beis Yosef's position. It is the Beis Yosef's position, and he doesn't spell it out black on white. Although he comes pretty close in Siftes Vav, it's surprising the Shach wasn't Masig on the Mechaber. Maybe he just didn't see it there, but I think it's there. I think the Taz's position is there in the Mechaber. But okay. Fine. And if you ask me how Machri, I would Machri like the Shach. Okay. Maybe the Mechaber didn't even disagree. But anyway. Okay, so that's Tezayin. Fine. Sif Yud Zayin. Thank you, Alex. Yossi?
In Sif Tedvav, so the Shulchan Aruch writes a woman, she's either on the 40th, 42nd, and then 43rd, and that is not obvious her previous Vesa Sahara.
Yeah.
Does that actually establish a new
Vesa Sahara? No, you're talking about Dilugin. So the simple answer is, no, it's not. The reason why not is because she used to see every 20th day. Now she sees on the 30th day. There's a Dilug of 10 days. She sees on the 32nd and the 34th. The Shach, by the way, in Sifkat Mameis talks about this. I didn't ask you to look at that Shach. Because it raises the question, but in that case, even according to Rav, you only have two dilugin.
Right, and didn't we say according to Rav, you need three intervals, four breathings.
The point is that 20 doesn't count because that's not in a pattern. So you would need she bled. You know, she bled. On the 30th day, that's number one. She bled 32 days later, so that's a one dilug. She bled 34 days later, that's two ligum, and then she bleeds 36. Shmuel would probably require 30. I think. No, I take that back. Maybe it is, maybe Shmuel would count. I guess Shmuel would count the 20th, so this is Shmuel Shita. Is that what he says? One second. Yeah, so I'll tell you why. Because he would say that when she bled 30 days apart, okay, 30, 32, and 34. For Rav, that should be sufficient. For Shmuel, you need three.
I thought we said that for Havlaga.
Yes, because it's really five Re'ios for Shmuel. The last time she bled on the 20th, then she bleeds 30 days later, 32 days later, 34 days later, and 36 days later. That's five Re'ez. And for Rav, it's four. Shmuel requires that the number of days in between you have three dulugim. So 30 is your base, 32, 34, 36. Rav only requires two.
Okay, but I thought, okay, so even
Two, but the way to, in order to get that, you require four ve'ios.
Four
ve'ios? Four. The last one, the ve'ia that from which he jumped to 30, that's two, 32, 34. So this is Shmuel Shita. Rav would say, Kav Avesis Nadiligan. Shmuel would say, you need 36. That's in the Shach and Sifkat Amembeis. Okay, sorry. Sif Yud Zayin. Hello. Okay. Now, there are three shitos in Rishonim in terms of Vesas HaKvitos and Vesas HaGuf in terms of a yom. The simple reading of the sugya on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph is that what can you not do? This is the only sort of explicit. What can you not have? In terms of kvitos yamim, kvitos alone, yamim alone, kvitos yamim combined, what's the one thing that Gemara seems to state explicitly you can't have? Kvitos alone. Why? Because it's onus. For some great difficulty, the Baal HaMor says the Gemara really doesn't mean that. And he points to the Gemara and Daf Tesvav that we did, spent a lot of time on about Rav Huna and the top of Tesvav and Beis with the Kvitos. And the Baal HaMor claims that you can have a Vesas HaKvitos L'chod and a Vesas HaYamim L'chod. That's the Shita that the Torah quotes. And the Beis Yosef kind of wonders how come the Torah doesn't note that anybody disagrees with the Baal HaMor's position. Why? Who disagrees? Well, there are two other Shitos. The opinion of the Rambam is that what?
Can't even have Vesas HaGuf.
You can't even have Vesas HaGuf L'yom Kavua. L'chod. You can only have L'yom Kavua. And then the position of the Rashba is that you can have a guf, but you can't have kvitos. Why not? What's the difference?
Well, because kvitos is an onus, and because guf is more... We said earlier too that it's more of a sign that...
Sign or a symptom as opposed to a cause.
Yeah.
Now, there's an interesting machlokas rishon, which we also spoke about, which was Tosus and the Rashba, with regards to the phantom vesas aguf that many of the rishonim didn't quote. What was that? Beis Yosef spills a considerable amount of ink to figure out why the Torah didn't quote it, maybe why the Rashba didn't quote it.
Ach Lashum.
What was it, B'Tzalim and Pilpulim?
Yeah,
and how come he doesn't quote it? Now, putting aside why the Torah doesn't quote it, so what is the status of that in terms of, is that a Vesas HaKvitos or is that a Vesas HaGuf? Now, for the Rambam, obviously, it doesn't matter. And for the Baal HaMor, it doesn't matter. Question is, what about for Tosfos and the Rashba, who distinguish between Vesas HaKvitos and Vesas HaGuf, what is the din of Ach Lashum, B'Tzalim, and Pilpulim? So the Rashba says, it's a machlok, because the Rashba says that that's onus, and that she does a maisa, and it causes her to get a period. But Tosos, we argued this out in Shir, before we saw it. I was mechaving to Tosos, and some of you were pointing out that the Rashba said otherwise. Tosos says that no, that this is like a Vesas HaGuf. Why does Tosaf say that? I'm not asking what the Svaradin Mechalik is. Why does Tosaf say that? Anybody know?
Because it's lumped in with the other Vesas.
Because it appears in the Sugya on Daf Samach, I don't know, Gimel, Dal, whatever it is, Samach Gimel, as opposed to Samach Gimel Beis, as opposed to on Yud Aleph. Right? That's probably textually what's driving Tosaf. What's the Svar? The Svar too is that Kvitos presumably have no real connection to the one we're getting our period. But chemicals in the body, and foods contain chemicals, So can have an impact upon, you know, the person's body. So therefore, Tosa says that it's not really called an onus when Ach Lashum B'Tzalim Apilbun, and therefore that would be treated like a Vesas HaGuf, in which case you could have that independent of a Yom Kavua. Okay.
Now,
what?
Is it to clarify the
Yeah.
Why is it? We assume that, when she jumps, if she bleeds when she jumps, doesn't that mean that there is some type of connection between the jumping and bleeding? I mean, how else?
You know,
bleeding cause the jumping. How else would the jumping cause bleeding? So.
Tosis' language at the end, after he makes the distinction, he says, "V'yishlomar de'ina kovas v'eses l'kvitzos l'chotayu k'dem v'perakam v'choshit k'vena mechamas ones afidu kama pamut lo kova aval achlo shum lo choshiv ones kemo torach shol kvitzos eina re'iya ba'yi de torach ela memela." It's almost like Tosis thinks that, I mean, think about the medieval conception. Again, what is going on when a woman bleeds? The uterus is opening, and the blood that resides in the uterus is coming out. The uterus closes, the woman stops bleeding. But the blood is there. So if she jumps up and down hard enough, right, you shake the bottle hard enough, and it leaks. Right? But achla shum, she didn't do anything that should, you know, it wasn't like a tircha that should have caused that. It came memela.
So it's more like
a more natural process. I mean, again, the Rashba's, you know, the Rashba, the Tosus thinks that unless if the Riyah happens memela, that's not called onus. The Rashba thinks that if she does anything that causes a venorrhea to happen, that's called onus. Okay. Anyway, so now the Mechaber said, "Koveses shenikva mechmas onus afilu rasa bo kama pama ina veses." Whose shita is he paskening like?
Rashba.
The Rashba. In other words, he wonders why the Torah didn't even bother to acknowledge anybody exists besides the Baal Mor. And the basis is straight out paskens like the Rashba and Tosis. Ain't no vest, and he doesn't have what does the Mechaber have to say about Shum and Bitzalim and Pilpul? And the answer is nothing. Only the Ramah in Sif Chav Gimel will then go on and quote the two deos, Tosus and the Rashba. Beis Yosef, funny, he struggles to figure out why the Torah and the Rashba don't discuss it, and he himself omits it. Okay. So anyway, ain't no vest, Shemnei Onas Rasa. Continue. Umikol Makom. Hold on a second. Does that make any sense to you? Is that true? She's choshesha slow like a vesa shena kavua. Got to read slowly and carefully, guys. So have you read this Mechaber Ramon? What are you talking about? Didn't we say that what's the one vesa shena choshesh for as an ina kavua?
Dilun.
You didn't notice my clever slip of language there.
You said one.
No. I said, what's the one Vesa Shinacho Sheshes for as a Vesa Shena Kavua? I was very careful in the way I said that. That's not what they said earlier. They didn't say Yonacho Shesh for as a Vesa Shena Kavua. They said Yonacho Sheshes for it until you Kovea it.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the way the Achronim understood the Ramah here, and it's based upon Hagos Maimonios, is that if she is kofetzes three times and gets a re'iyah, she's not kovas veses rekvitos, but she's chosheshes, like a vesa shena kavua. So if she jumps again, she has to be chosheshes for it. She lachatil, I guess, should do bedika. But if she doesn't bleed afterwards, she doesn't have to do bedika. You know, she wasn't margeshes, she doesn't have to do it.
So how is she negative? How can she be okay at that?
If she jumps once and doesn't bleed.
She wasn't
converted. She was converted to be choshesh, right?
Yes. Look at the shach for a second, memches. Kevan she'ira kein shalosh pamim kein uago b'vagos maimonis mevi beisus if idarki moshe v'nirli delo asa lafuke she'en tzvi chalachosh l'cho pam she'tikpot k'shelo ira kein shalosh pamim. Okay, I'm not going to read on further what he says in this. The point is that if she hasn't had three times, she hasn't been choshesh at all. And again, what does it mean to be choshesh? I presume all it means is yes, lachatili is supposed to do bedika during that time. Because if she didn't have a hargasha and she didn't do bedika, you don't need a bedika afterwards. Okay.
She would still be, she'll still be also that whole onah if she hasn't had a bedika yet. Would she? Or?
I guess you mean subsequent. If she normally bleeds afterwards. You're correct. You're correct. Probably the subsequent part of the owner, she's Asura. Good. Okay. Now continue. Kavtza.
Kavtza Verata, Kavala Vesa, the Yomik, Ablok, Kitzai.
Now, what did the Gemara say about this case?
That we see that the jumping from yesterday influenced.
Right, that it lo higia zman shel kvita. The Gemara says that she's kava veses liyam ula kvitas on Sunday. So what's going on here? This is why you can't skip the Beis Yosef. So you remember the Gemara had a Lishna Kama and a Lishna Basra. In a Lishna Basra, with the correct Nusach, the third time around, she was kavtza, she was lo kavtza, just rasa. And the Gemara says that she's kovas veses for Sunday. You don't need a kvitza. Now, the question is, so when you look at those two cases, kavtza rasa on Sunday, kavtza rasa on Sunday, kavtza on Shabbos, rasa on Sunday, in a Lishna Kama, she's Choshesh the Kvitzas on Sunday, because really it's the Kvitzah, but Logias Manashel Kvitzah, that's why she bled on Sunday. That's one thing. The second thing is Kafta Varasa on Sunday, Kafta Rasa, and on the third time on Sunday, she Rasa below Kvitzah. That she's only Choshesh the Ria, not for the Yom, not for the Kvitzah. Are those two arguing one another? Is there a steer between those two positions? The answer is no. There's no steer between them. There are two Lashonos in the Gemara, but they don't necessarily argue on one another. Most Rishonim, with the exception primarily of Rambam, most Rishonim say that the two Lashonos are not in dispute, and they're both Emes. Right? You only have to choose between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra when there's a Machlokas between them. Incidentally, how do you choose between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra in the Gemara? How do you know the Paskim? There's a Tosas in Abu Dizara, Dav Zayin, who quotes a whole bunch of shitos on how one paskins in that case. It might be the rice, sveika the rice of the chumrah. But bottom line, that's only when there's a stira between them. So most Rishonim say there's no stira. They're both kayim. In which case, the Mechamer's position here is only that of the Rambam. The Ramban himself also says he thought that the two Lashonos could work together, and especially since it's Vestos HaDrabanan, you should be Mekel. But then he saw the Rambam, so he was, you know, Mashach Yadav. But the Shach just wonders, you know, why the, or he just notes that this is only the Rambam's opinion, but the Rashba and the Tur disagree. And the Rav Magid, Meshem Ramban, even though himself he doesn't acknowledge the Ramban himself, backed out. So the Mechaber here is, strangely enough, only acknowledging the position of the Rambam, not acknowledging the position of the other Rishonim. Life will get interesting, because if you skip ahead for a moment to Sif Chaf. Read Sif Chaf. And you may not have read it yet, and if you got that far, but be brave anyway. Hello? Ella. What's pihuk?
Yawning.
Yawning. Whatever it is. She yawns. Okay. V'chein in the pama shlishis. Ella harosh chodesh. Fine. That's no bone to pick here. Of all. Otherwise known as Erev Rosh Chodesh. What's going on? How do you... earlier he rejected that day. And now he resuscitates it. So the... what? Well, apparently there seems to be some difference. But the Shach in Sif Katan Nuntes notes, he just says, "V'lo dami le de'el sof sif yud zayin, da'amina da'yom gorim lo kvitza, de'esmol, de'shani kvitza de'mechamas onesu ba, ken kasa bedrisha sif, yud beiz v'gam ha'tarazav ha'madani melech, Okay. Anyway, so it's interesting. That seems to be, it's hard to understand exactly why that should be.
Why there should be a difference.
Sif Yud Ches, one more Sif. Go ahead. Okay, so you should need both the yom and the kvitza. Okay, fine. We will stop here.